Good evening. I'm Pastor Peterson, and it's a delight to be able to share a word about Thanksgiving with you this evening. I love Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but it's one of my favorite holidays. I have so many wonderful memories of being with family, enjoying the food, and just having a leisurely time to watch football or just to be together. There was really no agenda on that day, just to be, and I love that. And when I think of Thanksgiving and being at the table, my mother used to have two very magical words that we had to use. The first is if you wanted something at the table, you had to use the word please. Please pass the potatoes. Please pass the gravy. And if you received that gift, you were supposed to then respond and say, thank you. Thank you. But the question is, if you were at the table and you were asking someone to give you something and they didn't give it to you, it's hard then to say thank you. And when we are in a situation like we're in now where we have a celebration of Thanksgiving that is so different and it's not going to be a normal Thanksgiving, it may ask the question, we may ask the question, is there a reason to give thanks? And when I think about that, in the Old Testament, the prophet Habakkuk was in a very difficult time in the life of Israel. And yet in the midst of this very challenging moment in their country and in his life, he wrote this: though the fig tree does not bud and there is no grape on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go to the heights. The Lord enables me to go to the heights. These words really spoke to me this year because as I thought about the fact that our Thanksgiving is going to be so different, and I wondered, you know, could we just skip this holiday? What's the purpose? The psalmist or the prophet Habakkuk just began to say, yes, yes, there is a reason to give thanks. We need to give thanks to God for all his provision for our life. And in giving thanks, he found joy. And if we don't give thanks, we lose our joy. We need to give thanks. What was true for Habakkuk was also true for the forefathers of our country. Giving thanks was not something that was compelled by their abundance, it wasn't their possessions, and it wasn't their good fortune that prompted them to want to give thanks. Their thanksgiving was compelled by the grace of God and the fact that God was their creator and their provider. The roots of Thanksgiving, the day of Thanksgiving, go back all the way to 1620 and the pilgrims. When the pilgrims were in Deftehaven in Holland, they had a vision, and the vision was for a greater future. They wanted to have civil liberty, and they wanted to have religious freedom. And so they went on a voyage to America in order to establish this colony in which they could begin to govern themselves and to experience this religious liberty. And their goal was to go to Manhattan, but a storm pushed their boat away, and they wound up in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And before they got off the boat, they made a compact called the Mayflower Compact. It was the first written document of civil governance and the first document that gave self-governance that we have in our records in America. These people had a vision, and they were filled with hope. But that winter that they went through in Massachusetts was bitter and it was harsh. And they not only had difficult weather, but they ran out of food. And we know that they were stricken by illness. 50% of the colony lost their lives that winter. That spring, the 52 people that were left, there were 102 that started, and there were 52 that were left, kept that vision. And they invested themselves in planting a crop, and with the help of their Indian neighbors, they were able to have an abundance in the summer. In gratitude for the harvest that they received, in gratitude for the help that they had received from their neighbors, they decided to set aside 3 days to give thanks to God and to have a feast. And in that feast, or at that feast, they invited not only themselves and their families, but they invited all of their neighbors. And there were 92 native Indians from the Wampanoag tribe that attended that first Thanksgiving, and there were 52 pilgrims. And they gathered together to give thanks to God. In 1789, President George Washington made a proclamation requesting that the nation set aside one day in order that there be a day of thanks. It was written, this proclamation, after the signing of the Declaration of Independence and after the Revolutionary War. There was a woman named Sarah Joseph Hale, who, when she heard and read about this holiday that President Washington set aside, she felt that this was such a great idea that we ought to do it every year. And so for 30 years, this woman petitioned the governing authorities to make Thanksgiving a national holiday that was celebrated continually every year. It didn't go well at first. Her idea was not accepted. But in 1863, Abraham Lincoln, during the midst of the Civil War, heard this petition that Sarah was making to have a national day of Thanksgiving, and he proclaimed the last Thursday of November to be a national day of Thanksgiving to be celebrated every year. And what made that proclamation so unusual is that Lincoln made that proclamation right after the Battle of Gettysburg. In that battle, 60,000 soldiers lost their lives. The nation was divided. The future of the country was uncertain. And yet, in the midst of all that difficulty, Lincoln asked the country to set aside a day and to give thanks to God for his grace and mercy. In Proverbs, it says that we need to be careful about our thoughts. We need to be careful about them because our thoughts shape our lives. And when I think about the times in which we're living, these are anxious times. These are really unusual times. There's so much uncertainty. You know, we've just gone through 9 months of a pandemic. 9 months in which we've been socially isolated. We've seen people become ill. We've seen people lose their lives. We've seen jobs lost. We've seen families turned upside down, schools literally struggling, and churches also trying to find a way to survive and to cope. Nothing has been normal. And if you add to that, during this whole time that we've been in this pandemic, we've been in an election cycle, and that election cycle has been divisive. And if you are like me, there are things said, there's things done that are hard to forget, and they're hard not to hold on to. But we dare not focus on the negative. We dare not focus on what divides us. We dare not look at the opportunities that were lost and what we do not have. For the heart of Thanksgiving is to fix our eyes on the grace of our Creator who has given us this wonderful land. The heart of Thanksgiving is to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and to know that he died to make us heirs of God's kingdom, children of God. He has given us a future that can never be taken away from us. We have been blessed. We have the heart of thanksgiving is to look at the Word of God and to recognize that this is a gift to us. Not only to hear it and to learn it, but to be obedient to it. The heart of thanksgiving is to work not only to achieve the will of God, but to work for the good of our neighbor. God desires to bless our country. He desires to bless it, but he said and asked us to do his will, to surrender to his word. When I think of our future, it's a future that's prepared for us, a future that God desires to give to us, but he asks us to listen to his word, and to yield our life to it, that we might receive that blessing that he has prepared. The pilgrims did not focus on how many people died. They focused on how many people survived. Washington encouraged us to look beyond our own efforts to establish a great nation and to remember that everything we have is a gift of God. Lincoln, in the midst of a civil war after the Battle of Gettysburg, when so many people had died, he looked at the courage of those men and he was determined to be courageous in his own life and to use his life to strive for the unity of the country, to strive for the blessing of every citizen, and to grab hold of the future that God had prepared for us. And so he said, let's set aside a day of thanksgiving and remember that God is with us and to seek that will of God for our life. Thanks changes our spiritual focus. It changes where we look. Instead of looking to ourself and what we have and what we do, our focus on thanksgiving is on who God is and what he has done for us. Our vision, our spiritual vision, is tainted by our sin. We look to what we don't have. We look to the negative. And we even look just to ourselves rather than to God. But when we put our focus on God and the blessings that he has given to us, we begin to see more and more of those blessings in our life. The more thankful we are, the more reason we find to give thanks. And as we begin to give thanks, it changes us so that we become more hopeful, more joyful, and we become filled with more energy. We become healthier and happier. When I think of the Apostle Paul, he said to young Timothy, who was a pastor that he was mentoring, he said to him to give thanks always, in every situation, and not to focus on himself, but to focus on God. Those are good words for us, to give thanks in every situation. And as we begin to do that, anxiety is pushed aside and joy is restored. In the Bible, thanksgiving is more than a holiday. It's a way of life. Thanksgiving is not something that happens on a Thursday in November, but it happens every day. We are invited to remember God who has provided for us, God who has redeemed us, and God who is with us in his spirit, a God who has a future prepared for us. Just listen to Psalm 110. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Through all generations. It continues with us now. God continues to work for good. He continues to eagerly try to bless us and to give to us all that we need for our life. And he gives to us a future that can never disappoint or be taken away from us. You know, I Hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving and that you keep your eyes on Jesus. And I hope that as Lincoln encouraged the nation, that we would strive for unity, that we'd look for the positive, that we'd love our neighbor, and that we'd grab hold of the future that God has given to us, even the uncertainty of our times. May God bless you. I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much turkey, but just enjoy the presence of God who is with you. Amen.